The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Come on, everybody, sing along with me. You remember this one. You put your left foot in, you put your left foot out, you put your left foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the wokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Remember that one, the wokey pokey? You do the wokey pokey. You do the wokey pokey. Remember that, the wokey pokey? No, wait a minute. That's different. It's not the wokey pokey. It's the hokey pokey. But we'll get to the wokey pokey before the end of the show because I want you to be wokey. Okay, I'm just here trying to help you. Hey, everybody. How are you? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I hope you dads had a great Father's Day. I certainly did. I wish the weather had been nicer. It was raining cats and dogs, but it was great to, for the first time in my life, that was having one of our sons become a father. And so me becoming a grandfather, that was totally cool. So for all you grandfathers out there, I finally get it. I finally understand. So I hope you had a great weekend and a great Father's Day. And so several of the stories I'm going to share today, as occasionally I kind of, one of the things that I want to make sure I do here on the radio show and on Facebook Live and on YouTube Live and on the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and on Facebook, it's the Steve Noble Show, same thing on YouTube, or right here on the radio program, is to ring the bell when I feel it's appropriate and to keep things on your radar screen, especially as parents and grandparents, when it comes to our children, that we need to be aware of. And oftentimes you kind of, you know, you got a decent life going on, you know, you have decent school, decent teachers, and you're just not really always aware of some of the darkness that exists out there. So when I run into it, and I'm always looking for it, unfortunately, it's part of my job, then I'm going to share it. So I'm going to get to several stories today that for you as a mom or a dad or a grandfather or a grandmother, you should be well aware of, and your sensitivity on your radar screen should be turned up as a follower of Jesus Christ, as somebody that's supposed to love your neighbor as yourself and show deference to your neighbor and to care about the people around you, and especially those who are weaker than us. Then I'm going to keep ringing these bells. So I'm going to get to some of those stories. A lot of things to talk about here. And for you ladies out there, whatever happened to defending women and women's rights and women's liberation and all that kind of stuff? Because it is just getting, in the world of sports, getting decimated, as you know. So this one just came out. Laurel Hubbard, first transgender athlete to compete at the Olympics. That's coming up this year, the Summer Olympics in what, Tokyo or something, which was supposed to be scheduled before, Tokyo 2020. So now it's Tokyo 2021 asterisk, I guess. So New Zealand's, just check this out, and this should ring as inherently unfair to all of us, men or women. New Zealand's Laura Hubbard has become the first ever transgender athlete picked to compete at an Olympics. In a controversial decision, officials have selected, quote-unquote, her for the, quote-unquote, women's weightlifting team for Tokyo 2020 after qualifying requirements were recently modified. Well, you would have to modify them, correct? Because Laurel Hubbard is a trans woman, meaning that's a man who, via his mental illness, thinks he's a woman. That being gender dysphoria. Okay, so Laurel Hubbard is a man who thinks, through his gender dysphoria, his mental illness, that he's a woman. And now, what particular sport could you think? How many sports, friend, could you think of where a man would have a particular advantage over a woman? I don't know if any's more obvious than weightlifting, perhaps wrestling, football, but there's not really women football, but certainly in weightlifting, right? She had competed in men's events before coming out as transgender in 2013. This is a biological male. Laurel Hubbard, despite whatever he's chosen to do with his name, is a man, right? Genetically, a man. Nothing you can do about that. That's a done deal. Critics say Hubbard has an unfair advantage, you think? But others have argued for more inclusion at the game. So what, as we do the wokey pokey, you do the wokey pokey, what are the Olympics supposed to be about? Well, for a rather long history, a few thousand years, the Olympics are about competition, athleticism, drive, dedication, and men compete against, you can fill in the blank there, right? Men and women compete against women because in a rational world, we would call that fair. But we don't live in a rational world anymore. So now the Olympics is all about gender inclusion rather than fair competition. She will compete in the women's 87-kilogram weightlifting category. The 43-year-old became eligible to compete at the Olympics when the International Olympic Committee in 2015 changed its rules allowing transgender athletes to compete as women if their testosterone levels are below a certain threshold. Testosterone is a hormone that increases muscle mass, right? So even though you're a man, if you're not juking up on testosterone, if you're not jabbing, right, then you're going to be within those limits. But it still doesn't change the fact that this is a man competing against women in weightlifting. While the athlete's testosterone levels are below the threshold, critics say her participation in the Olympics is unfair. No kidding. They have pointed to the biological advantages of those who have gone through puberty as males, such as increased bone and muscle density. Oh, that's just downright hateful, right? Last month, Belgian weightlifter Anna Van Belligen, who is competing in the same category, said that if Hubbard were to compete in Tokyo, it would be unfair for women and like a bad joke. I would agree. She said that while she fully supported the transgender community, the principles of inclusion should not be at the expense of others. Whoa, okay. So here we go. Belgian weightlifter, an actual woman, born that way, Anna Van Belligen, can actually chew gum and walk at the same time. She can actually say that she supports the transgender community. If you want to go down that road yourself, that's fine. But then she also turns around and says, but you cannot allow a biological man to compete against biological women because they have an unfair advantage, obviously. So on the one hand, Belgian weightlifter Anna says, I support the community in general, but that doesn't mean you get to trounce over everybody else's rights. So this Belgian weightlifter, Anna, boy, she's just making too much sense. I got to get rid of her. Anyone that has trained weightlifting at a high levels knows this to be true in their bones. This particular situation is unfair to the sport and to the athletes, Anna said in May. Life-changing opportunities are missed for some athletes, medals and Olympic qualifications, and we are powerless. There lies the problem, ladies. Powerlessness. Welcome back. So we're taking away your ability to compete fairly. We should just go ahead and remove your ability to vote. And let's think of what other things we can do to reverse women's rights. Obviously, that's what we need to do today to be a part of the transgender deal. We'll be right back.
There's a man going around taking names. And he decides who to free and who to blame.
And it ain't me. I'm not the one taking names. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Again, hope you had a great weekend. Happy Father's Day. Belated Father's Day to all your dads out there and granddads. Praise the Lord for that. Just going through some stories and really want to focus on things that are affecting and going after our children, grandchildren. And so I'm going to get to several stories there, but I wanted to get through these other two. I like this one. Have you been paying attention in the Catholic Church here in America? You've got a growing number of Catholic bishops that are going, yeah, I'm not really thrilled about offering communion to people like, well, President Biden and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Why is that, sir? Because they're openly advocating for the murder of the unborn. And we have a little bit of a theological problem with that. So if somebody's in open rebellion to the word of God and to the clear teaching, in this case, of the Catholic Church, should you really be slapping the wafer on their tongue and like there's no problem here? Don't say anything, especially with people of that magnitude, with that kind of leadership and that kind of reach. And so there's a debate going on. So this was this story just came out a couple of days ago from Reuters. U.S. bishops vote to draft communion statement that may rebuke Biden. And the Vatican's been warning these folks, these guys, hey, we don't think you should do this. But there's some movement here. A divided conference of U.S. Roman Catholic bishops announced on Friday, just a few days ago, that they had voted to draft a statement on Holy Communion that may admonish Catholic politicians, including President Biden, who support abortion rights. The debate this week laid bare some of the cultural and political rifts that have rocked the church in the last several years. U.S. Catholic Church membership has dropped nearly 20% in the past two decades, according to a Gallup poll in March, as sexual abuse scandals involving predatory priests have come to light and members have become increasingly divided on social issues. The bishops, and by the way, I looked this up before in the last election with Obama's second term, I think it was 58 or 62%, around 60% of Catholics voted for Obama. And Obama, obviously, unabashedly, unashamedly pro-choice, pro-abortion. The bishops in favor of drafting the document insisted that it would not call out any individual politician by name, but the topic of Biden's social views came up repeatedly in the discussion. Biden, the second Catholic to serve as U.S. president, has alarmed many bishops by supporting same-sex marriage and abortion rights, views they say are antithetical to church doctrine. Well, the Bible says they're antithetical to church doctrine. It's not just the Catholic view. Some bishops want to block politicians with views like Biden's from receiving communion. But any statement would serve as guidance, and individual bishops would be able to make an independent choice. Asked on Friday if he was concerned by the bishop's decision, Biden said, "That's a private matter, and I don't think that's going to happen." Well, we shall see, shall we? Not, Mr. President. Some bishops advocating for drafting the document argued they had an obligation to clarify the church's teachings for all Catholics in light of inconsistencies in the faith and actions of public officials like Biden. And that's where the rubber hits the road here in this case. If you're a public official and a public out Catholic, and you're openly in defiance of the church's teachings, I think that's a matter of conscience for the bishop or any priest that's presiding over that communion service with that particular public official, especially somebody at the level of Nancy Pelosi or President Biden, to be able to say, yeah, you know what? You need to repent. You're not right with the Lord. You're openly advocating for the murder of the unborn and the destruction of God's institution of marriage by disgracing it, being in favor of same-sex marriage. So, no, I'm not going to give you communion. You need to repent. Shouldn't we be doing that anyway? Now, the challenge there is, now be logical here for a minute. Can you withhold communion from any Christian because of their sin? No, because that would mean no Christian's ever going to have communion because Christians sin still. And so, but what if you're a major leader? Then I think, okay, you're a very public Catholic and you're not just have a position that's against scripture in your private life. You're doing this professionally, publicly, unabashedly. Quote, almost daily I speak with people, Catholics, who are confused by the fact that we have a president who professes devout Catholicism and yet advances the most radical pro-abortion agenda in our history, said Bishop Donald Hying of Madison, Wisconsin, who supported drafting the document. Yeah, I'm with you there, guys. Teachers, people that are public, should be held to a higher standard. And especially if they're advocating against the clear teaching of the church. That's a problem. I think that sounds like excommunication. Excommunicado, you're out. And because that's part of the deal in the Catholic Church. I don't have a problem with that. So whether we're talking about Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, or the mayor of Fort Lauderdale. Did you hear this story yet? Tried to walk back terrorism claims over Pride Parade accident. Okay, so you have the Fort Lauderdale mayor, Dean Trantalis, trying to walk back shocking claims made shortly following a horrific accident at the city's Pride Parade, now saying he was terrorized by the incident rather than that the incident was a terror attack. It's a subtle difference. As the Daily Wire reported over the weekend, one man was killed while another was injured when the driver of a pickup truck accelerated and ran them over. Within moments of the tragedy and before any information was known, Democrats in the media began treating it as a deliberate attack on the LGBT community, the Daily Wire noted, citing the mayor's immediate remarks. Now check this out. So the pickup truck accelerates and rams into people at the Pride Parade. Okay, horrific. Looked to be criminal, right? The potential to be criminal. Although, are there other times when people driving cars lose control of the car for one reason or another and accidentally hit people? Yes, there are. Does that ever happen? Yes, it does. But the mayor wasn't willing to wait for actual facts or information. He just went with what was easy, especially from the left's perspective. Quote, this is what he said. This is declarative statement. This is a terrorist attack against the LGBT community, Trantalis told WPLG. This is exactly what it is. Hardly an accident. It was deliberate. It was premeditated. And it was targeted against a specific person. Luckily, they missed that person, but unfortunately, they hit two other people. That person was later identified as Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. It's not clear how close Wasserman Schultz was to the incident, and reports vary. In some, the truck narrowly missed the Democrat legislator, and others, she was getting into a different vehicle nearby but not immediately adjacent to the incident. Leftists quickly followed Trantalis' lead, even blaming Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Of course. Now, when he remarked... Now, all right, one of the reasons I'm sharing this is yes, to bash what's going on here by the mayor. But the other reason I'm sharing this is to potentially bash you and me. How often do we retweet, share, post a story that we assume it's true, or we jump to a conclusion, or our own confirmation bias takes us down a road where we're like, I share it, and then you find out later, I've done this before. It's like 12 years old. But you liked the title of the story, it revved you up, and so you posted it or shared it. Then you find out later, well, that actually wasn't entirely true. Have you ever done that? I have. And so there's a warning here for all of us, not just this mayor. At the time of Trantalis' remarks, there was no evidence. Don't let that get in the way. No evidence to suggest the incident was intentional. Further reports indicated that the incident was an accident and that the driver remained on the scene. He also appears to have been part of the parade, assigned to drive a vehicle because he could not walk the length of the parade route. Wow. So this is actually a pro-LGBT person that was actually a part of the parade that lost control of their car, which hit people and unfortunately killed one, I think. So it wasn't, well, I guess somebody like me. So what did the mayor say after that? We'll find out when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're going to turn the corner here in just a second, and then we'll talk to our friend David Fisher in the fourth segment, do a little Money Monday update. But the mayor down there, Trantalis, down at Fort Lauderdale, when the pickup truck driver drove, lost control of the car, found this out later, his pickup truck and hit a couple people, unfortunately killed somebody. And this is a terrorist attack against the LGBT community, the mayor said down there in Fort Lauderdale. This is exactly what it is. Hardly an accident. It was deliberate. It was premeditated. And it was targeted against a specific person. He was guessing Debbie Wasserman Schultz. But too bad the facts didn't support all that. It was actually a man that was a part of the Gay Pride Parade who, for whatever reason, lost control of the truck. So it's just a whole horrific, unfortunate accident. Not a terrorist attack. So they went after him. Right? People, the conservative media, and people that just care about, I don't know, like the truth. And so he came out with this statement. Last evening, at the start of what was to be a celebration of pride for the LGBT community and commemoration of our hard-won victories for equality, our community faced the worst of tragedies. The grief of our LGBT community and greater Fort Lauderdale as a whole is palpable, he told the network. I was an eyewitness to the horrifying events. It terrorized me and all around me. I reported what I saw to law enforcement and had strong concerns about what transpired, concerns for the safety of my community. I feared it would be intentional based on what I saw from mere feet away. Law enforcement took what appeared to obvious to me and others nearby and investigated further, as is their job. As the facts continue to be pieced together, a picture is emerging of an accident in which a truck careened out of control. I'm sorry I decided to come right out and acted like I was God and I'm omniscient and I know everything. And I knew for a fact that was a terrorist attack, an anti-LGBT attack, and was probably propagated by a white male Christian. So he's not apologizing. Why would he? I mean, unfortunately, his little sick dream didn't come true, because I'm sure in the back of his mind, he'd probably never say this publicly, but that would be better for the narrative if what he alleged to be true actually was true. Because then they could paint people like, well, perhaps you and definitely me with an even broader brush that we're terrorists, which would fold into the Biden administration's increased focus on domestic terrorism, especially white supremacists, because they're everywhere these days. So that's interesting. All right, some things about our kids. Mental health experts. This was in the Boston Herald last week. Several doctors wrote this. A profoundly troubling consequence of the pandemic is emerging with increasing clarity. Our youths are experiencing a mental health crisis. The CDC and prevention found that from April to October last year, hospitals across the U.S. saw a 24% increase in the proportion of mental health and emergency visits for children aged 5 to 11 and a 31% increase for children ages 12 to 17. FairHealth, comparing data from August 2019 to 2020 in the Northeast, found a 334% increase in the number of pediatric intentional self-harm claims as a percentage of all medical claims. As mental health providers at Newton Wellesley Hospital, we have had an up-close view of this crisis as it unfolds in our own community. In 2021, referrals to our child adolescent psychiatry outpatient clinic have doubled compared to our pre-pandemic baseline. We have experienced an 80% increase in mental health-related pediatric visits to our emergency department. We are seeing three times as many patients ages 8 to 18 following suicide attempts, with 13 and 14-year-olds representing the highest proportion of such ER visits thus far in 2021. Why are young teens seemingly facing the highest risk right now? Well, they go on to explain it's the shutdowns. And is anybody going to be held responsible for this? Ultimately, China and the Wuhan lab, that's starting to get some traction. And then you got to go back to the people that shut down and school boards and mayors and governors and Fauci. And to a certain extent, Donald Trump's in there as part of that mess. But that's what's happening to our kids. So please, again, I'm ringing this bell. If you have children and grandchildren that have experienced stuff from COVID, these shutdowns, there's been so much harm done there, and you can't always tell. So we have to be very aware and ask questions and get involved. Don't assume anything when it comes to our children's mental health, because this is horrific. And it's all over the place. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there going after our children, whether it's that or other things like the wokey pokey mentality, right? This was a story when a PBS station featured Little Miss Hot Mess reading from the performer's new book, The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, 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 last month on a program aimed at children ages 3 to 8. This is on Nickelodeon. The backlash was immediate, with a video of the reading going viral on a conservative social media. If American tax dollars can be used to pay for 3 to 8-year-olds to watch this PBS drag queen story hour, then I demand equal tax dollars go also to reading them Bible stories. That's a good one. And there's all kinds of stuff. Here's what's out there, just to give you a taste. The newest iteration of Blue's Clues, courtesy of the show's YouTube channel, featuring RuPaul's Drag Race star Nina West singing about diverse family structures. Netflix's animated series She-Ra and the Power of Princess, featuring a gay, transgender, and non-binary characters. Cartoon Network animated Steven Universe, whose hero's superpowers come from his belly button, touching on gay and trans issues, along with a subplot involving a same-sex wedding. The YouTube series Too Loud, part of NBC Universal's Peacock Kids channel, featuring a main character coming out as a trans girl during the show's second season. DreamWorks Animation's Madagascar A Little Wild, a series on both Peacock and Hulu, featuring an LGBTQ pride-themed episode, along with a new non-binary character, Odie Elliott, voiced by non-binary actor Ezra Minas. Non-binary just means, I don't know what I am. I'm not a man, I'm not a woman, I'm whatever. And that's all over the place. I mean, this is a 4-page, 5-page article. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Then there's something here I shared earlier today on my Facebook page that got yanked, because I shared it. Somebody found this on a Facebook page from the Early Learning Framework, which is an organization that deals with helping preschools and like daycare centers with their curriculum and how to teach the kids. So there's this Early Childhood Development Association, a PEE. So this is up in Prince Edwards. Okay, this is up in Canada. But for Pride Month, they had pictures up. So I shared it from their Facebook page, and then Facebook dumped it because they obviously found out people were sharing it in a negative way. So they said, oh, the originators of this content don't allow it to be shared. So they pulled it. But then I was able to find it somewhere else and got the pictures and copied it and then reposted it. You just got to keep fighting to get the truth out there. But this is from their Facebook post. Dealing with this organization up there, they have three locations called Tiny Tot. Tiny Tot, okay? So it's literally for tiny little kids, 4 and 5-year-olds, daycare centers, for Pride Month. Tiny Tot on Pope, that's a location, recently celebrated Pride Month and had this to say about their celebration. Quote, our toddlers and infants, you read that right, toddlers and infants, had a dance party with educational pride videos from Nickelodeon, aforementioned. And our preschool and pre-K friends had the opportunity to meet and have a dance party with a member of our community, meaning LGBTQ. Lady Fefe, it's a drag queen, uses the art of drag as an artistic expression and relates the joy experience back to the spirit of play and endless creativity. Right, if you're Satan. Representation and authentic connections are an important part to celebrating different cultural experiences. We read stories about different family styles and gender diverse characters. Had a pronoun check-in. Gotta have one of those with all these little kids. 3, 4, 5 year olds. Right? This is spiritual, mental, emotional child abuse. Sexual child abuse on the line here. Had a pronoun check-in, dressed up in our favorite colorful clothing, wink, wink, colored progress flags, and learned what each color represents, talked about how to stand up for injustices, and connected with Peers Alliance to borrow an array of 2SLGBTQIA+ flags. We ended our celebration with pride cookies from Buns and Things. Quote, pride means fun and you're happy. It means loving who you are and loving who you want. Pride doesn't mean boys or girls. It means everyone. That's a direct quote. And who do they attribute the quote to? 4 and 5 year olds in general. Our program, quote, plays a key role in building a foundation of respect for diversity by capitalizing on children's receptivity to these ideas about diversity in the early years. You mean your ability to brainwash them? That's what that means. Diverse programs celebrate similarities as well as differences and therefore help to build a sense of connection with the child's community. That's from the Early Learning Framework. At Tiny Tots Early Years Center, they have a class picture here of all these tiny little kids and the big, crazy looking, I'm sorry, I'm trying to be sensitive here, but just demonic, twisted, sick man drag queen with all these little kids. And so that stuff is real. This isn't some hyperbole from some crazy Christian right-wing website, all right? This is out there, friends. And they're going right at your children and grandchildren, and you don't know it because you drop them off and think things are fine. Everybody's so nice. They're wonderful. It seems safe. But there's always the powers of darkness lurking in all these things. Just because they're 3, 4, 5, and 6, you think they're safe from this? You think Satan cares? He doesn't care when they're in the womb. He certainly doesn't care when they're at the daycare center. So as a parent or a grandparent, we all have, I'm sorry, but we have to be more paranoid. You got to be more involved, be more cynical, be more skeptical. Just assume this stuff is out there in their little classes, their little daycares, whatever, their summer camps. And you got to get your nose in there. You got to investigate. You got to look for yourself. Don't assume anything because they're after our kids. He's after our kid, him being Satan. And we have to be aware. We'll be back on a Money Monday update. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're going to talk to David Fisher here in just a moment. I just wanted to say something I wrote earlier today. As we were talking about these stories that affect children, whether it's transgender stuff or in the case of the story before that, from the Boston Herald, mental health experts, our youth are experiencing a crisis from COVID. With all the mental health challenges, particularly 8 to 14-year-olds and just crazy, insane, heartbreaking increases in suicide attempts and self-harm, all kinds of stuff. It's just horrific. So when I shared that earlier today on Facebook, I wrote the following, then we'll talk to David. As we move closer to the day when God's wrath will be poured out on the world, the severity of that wrath makes more and more sense to me. We have no problem killing our unborn children for our own convenience. We have no problem isolating those we choose to keep for our own perceived safety and acquisition of political power. Talking about older people, right, with COVID. We have no problem shipping them off to facilities once they're old and then leaving them vulnerable there once again because, well, we can. Jesus truly is the only force that can compete with such systemic wickedness. Forget systemic racism. Systemic wickedness is the real problem. God help us. And that's just, you just got to wrestle with this stuff, folks. And you got to talk about it and you got to look out, especially for those that are young. We got to care for those. We got to look out. We got to work on their behalf to love your neighbor as yourself. And then just trust the Lord. But you can't just sit on the sidelines and pray. You got to engage. That's the point behind the story of the Good Samaritan. The self-righteous religious people walked by. They didn't want to deal with the guy. And then the Samaritan, who is outside of the Jewish culture, was the one to stop. And that's us. We need to be willing to stop and look out for other people, not just ourselves. So just wanted to say that. Our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, as always, helping us to work our way through a lot of these difficult subjects. We were talking about the Federal Reserve and their meeting this week, a lot of things going on there. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on your program on Mondays, as always.
You're welcome. Happy belated Father's Day. Did you have a good day yesterday?
Yeah, I did. Actually, Father's Day started on a Saturday a little bit because I went golfing with one of my sons and enjoyed that time and had a good day. Appreciate it. Happy belated Father's Day to you, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So we're going to start in Scripture, which is always a great place to start, and then we'll dive into a few main points that we'll talk about here briefly. But 2 Corinthians 6:18, such a great verse on the heels of Father's Day. Let's take it from there.
And it says, "And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So we could take this from a perspective, Steve, if our fathers and were yearning for a relationship with their children or our mothers, we could even put that in there because we didn't get to talk about this on Mother's Day.
Sure.
Maybe your children have passed on. Maybe they're estranged, or maybe you didn't have the ability to have the blessing of children. But God understands all those emotions, those feelings, and whether it be feelings of joy or feelings of challenges, God embraces that, and he says he's going to be the father to you. If we're on the other side those that are hearing my voice are children of parents, and maybe your dad or your mom is no longer with us, and so there's a void. Or maybe you didn't grow up having either a healthy relationship with your dad or mom, or there was a lack of that maybe passed on early on in life, like myself. So the terminology of father can be conclusive of how the relationship, whether you had one or not, or what that was like. But either way, I think the point we want to make today is God is going to father us no matter who we are. Male, female, individual, what age, what nationality, we all want to be fathered, and he wants to father us. And that's a two-sided relationship. We can choose not to have him allow him to father us. And but I choose today, let him father you.
Amen. What a great word. Let him father you and look to him as your father, even if you don't have one, earthly one, or the one that you had. Has fallen well short, the Lord will never do that. So that's always encouraging, a great reminder for all of us. Thank you for that, David. The Federal Reserve meeting this week, and always going to be interesting. Is it going to be really important? Any major changes we should look for?
Well, actually, I did a misspelling there. They met last week. That's my fault. And so it was very historic. They didn't raise rates. They chose to keep things status quo as normal. Not raising rates a quarter of a point. They chose to continue to buy mortgage-backed securities at $120 billion a month. Why this was historic is because the number came in as the consumer price index, as we all know, came in red hot last week at 5%. They thought it was going to come at 4.7. So the numbers by the Fed's yardstick says the Fed should be raising rates. I predicted they didn't, they wouldn't, they didn't. And those are the two topics that are really important, interest rates and bond purchases, because if you understand the whole money system is that since 2008, the Federal Reserve has stepped in and arbitrarily expanded the money supply. How much have they expanded it? From $800 billion to $8 trillion, 10 times bigger. So obviously, this is a big thing for them not to reverse courses when we do have inflation.
I want to ask about the interest rates, but I want to ask this other question right quick, because I saw an article earlier today that the average house for sale is only for sale for 6 days. The real estate market is red hot. I mean, it's just crazy. We dealt with that ourselves, selling and buying last year. Why are they still messing around with mortgage-backed securities? Why is the Fed
really
still in that business?
Yeah, so they're purchasing $40 billion a month. They shouldn't be doing that. In fact, on Friday, James Bullard, the St. Louis Fed chair, who's not a voting member of the Federal Reserve, came out and he said, you know, they shouldn't be doing this. All they're doing is creating a bubble like they did in the real estate market in 2008 where the bubble popped. And obviously his verbiage, he questioned the Fed. So this is why the market went down so much on Friday. The Dow went down 500 points, 1.5%. And because you have a person who's not being politically correct because he's not a voting member saying there's some things that we shouldn't be doing, and he mentioned that they shouldn't be buying mortgage-backed securities, and he also mentioned that they should be raising rates. Indirectly, he came about that, and he also said that they should be thinking about tapering. So it's good to get a different perspective from a Fed board member that's not politically ostracized or politically motivated to say things like the Jay Powell did.
Yeah, so obviously they're reluctant to raise interest rates, but why is that?
So, you know, if they raise rates, then it adds more challenges to service the national debt. If they, it also says, you know, the cost of living is going to go up, so it causes inflation. So raising rates is not a good thing, but it's, I always said, Steve, that the Fed is not going to never really want to raise rates. And we, you know, the normal rate that the Fed should be at, that they're by their own admittance, is 3.5%. But the average rate for 50 years is 5.3%. So we're at a quarter of a point, so we're artificially low. They should be raising rates, but they don't want to because it will become a challenge. And once they start raising rates, it will become an economic challenge. It will admit we have inflation. And there's never been a time, zero times in history, when the Fed started a rate hike campaign that did not lead to negative outcomes.
Yeah, and of course they're playing a political game the whole time, so it's just like little kids with their fingers in their ears going la 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 la. They just refuse to deal with reality. And again, more and more stuff piling on. It's really remarkable to look at this. We talked about and did a whole show on it, and that was really helpful recently. Modern monetary theory. Sometimes people just go MMT, but if you don't know what we're talking about, that was a show that I did with David like 2 weeks ago. So make sure you go check that out, the podcast or Facebook Live. But we've talked about modern monetary theory. We've talked about the Great Reset. Why is this? Why are we talking about it? Like, why is that so challenging to consider what that's going to be like in the future?
Well, when we talked about the modern monetary theory principles, we came to the conclusion within about 3 minutes that this is just insane to think this way.
Yes.
You can rate, doesn't matter what interest rates are, doesn't matter how much you go into debt, and you don't have to worry about paying back this debt. That's just insane. So the idea now is the Fed is going to be forced to raise rates, which means at some point we're going to have to pay the debt back at a higher rate. So today, Mark Zandi, he's an economist, he came out and he said, beware of inflationary headwinds. This could cause the market to correct 10 to 20%. And he says, once you see this correction, it could take a year to break even. I find that striking, those comments. But we still are going to have the Fed take $2 more trillion if they stay the course. They're going to add their balance sheet, which will be $10 trillion. And this is why central banks are aggressively buying gold, since they see this train wreck happening by the Fed when they are forced to react, raising rates and tapering. And there is going to be a taper tantrum. The market's going to have a revolting digest of that, and this is why gold investors, some were speculating last week and sold on Friday in a panic. Today, those are people today are bargain hunting, buying gold, even though it's up over 1% today. It's still a bargain in reference to all the debt and all the money that the Fed is printing.
Yeah, and again, given the economic conditions out there that and where we're going, that kind of determines what you should be looking at. So even though the market, you can go, okay, hey, look at the market's going, because it was down 555 on Monday, it's up like 586 today and over the course of the year. But we know, that's why we keep talking about it, David, that train is going to stop. And when it stops, it's going to be a mess. And that's where you got to talk about diversification. And that's when you got to start looking at things like precious metals. And for people to get educated, to really understand that, how can they do that, David? How can they get help?
Well, the simple way, picking up the phone, calling our company at 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575, or landmarkgold.com.
As always, great job, David. Thank you for all the information. Thank you for that passage of scripture, as always. We appreciate you, brother. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate you and love you, my friend. God bless.
Love you too. Talk to you later. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.